Reading are from Hebrews chapter 12 and Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off entangles, and let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And from Ecclesiastes, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty with your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth. So let your words be few.
I can begin by telling you about another one of my guilty pleasures. I think I've mentioned some of this in passing from time to time, but one of my guilty pleasures, and maybe once a week I get to see part or all of one of these shows, or watching a series of shows on television that have to do with automotive things. My three regular things, if you call that regular, are the show Counting Cars. Then there's Fast and Loud with the Gas Monkey Garage. And the new one that I've been watching are the Diesel Brothers, and they handle all things trucks and diesel. And I watch it, and I am literally in awe of what they do. Their restorations, their rebuilding, their refinishing. And then when they go off script and they do their own thing. And I, where do they get the ideas? Where do they get the skills? And even though some of them are really rough around the edges, and even though some of the times I don't like what they make, I still have to admire the artistry of what they engage in. And I've been thinking about that in terms of, well, the disciplines that they've had to go through, the disciplines that they actually still use. Now, they might not call them disciplines, but I think they are. The training they went into, the things that they learned. I know all of us can put a wrench on a nut and loosen it or tighten it, but what these men and women do are just beyond. And those disciplines that they were taught, those disciplines that over the years they've practiced, and the experience of those disciplines have brought them to a level that is, and a result that is amazing. And that's what I want you to hold on today. Disciplines bring us to the place, purposefully bringing a result, a product, that is beyond anything we could ever imagine. Would you imagine that that's why God has us engaged in disciplines? We give them a fancy name. We call them spiritual disciplines. But they're just disciplines. And they happen to have effect on our spiritual lives so that God is raising up, now get this, disciples. Don't they sound the same? Disciples and disciplines? Don't we get that? Don't we understand that? Every one of us has some disciplines we've embraced, from the simplest disciplines, like the disciplines that every Monday night we take out the trash. Maybe it's not Monday night for you, but Monday night for us, take out the trash. The discipline of washing the dishes. Some of you have learned disciplines of cooking. And so when you're the go-to person for us, we go to you because you know all those disciplines. Some of those disciplines we've embraced. in your area of expertise, there are things that you've embraced, the disciplines you've had to embrace, and you have embraced them. There are disciplines you've tried and you've abandoned. I've abandoned things that I just choose not to do anymore because that's not what God has me putting my time into. And then, of course, there's disciplines that we've never entertained. I've never really entertained the disciplines of rebuilding or restoring a car. I mean, other than imagining what it would be like to have cars like that at some point in my life. I couldn't afford them. Neither could you, just for the record. But in all of that, they are purposeful and productive, and they benefit our lives. They benefit not us, but they benefit others. They make our lives better, more fully. They benefit other people, make their lives better, more full. They make our lives easier. That's why we do it. That's why we're called to do it. Me personally, well, looking back, I guess, some of the areas of discipline that I'm grateful for having the disciplines are areas of music, piano. I feel comfortable around them. I know that I don't practice them as much. I just don't have the time. But I'm grateful for the disciplines that I've learned over the years, and they still come in handy. I think I have some disciplines in terms of study and spiritual disciplines, although there are still some spiritual disciplines that I'm just a novice at. My family, my brothers, my sisters, my mother, my nieces, my nephews, they think I'm skilled in the disciplines of annoying them. And I have made it, I'm probably at the level of PhD with that. So, but all of those disciplines are there to except for my family, to be better. My life is better. My life is fuller. Richard Foster, who I've been referencing in this series, especially his work, Celebration of Disciplines, because of the insights that he gives us, and that book, again, I want to remind you, was written in the late 70s, but still is a good resource. We have copies in the library if you'd like to check that out. But he says that the purpose of the spiritual disciplines is the total transformation of the person. Think about that. The purpose of the spiritual disciplines is our transformation. The transformation of who we are. Now note this. The heart of God is that we be transformed, conformed to the image of Christ. So that when we engage, even in the least of the spiritual disciplines, we are on God's plan. This is His program. This is the heart of the Father. This is what God is doing in us. And when we engage in those disciplines, wow, things happen and we're transformed. Add to that that through these disciplines and in these disciplines, every one of them ushers us in some way into the very presence of the living God. That's what these spiritual, what we call spiritual disciplines do. And in the presence of the living God, we are transformed, we are renewed, we are made whole, we are healed. That's what being in God's presence does. Now, why wouldn't we engage in spiritual disciplines? Why wouldn't we find more time for that? Why aren't we developing those disciplines? Well, one reason is because some of us have no desire to have a change of life, change of heart, to be transformed. We have no desire to be conformed to the image of Christ. We may not even believe that that's possible. Another one really comes out of where we were last week. We're afraid. We're afraid what God will ask us to do. We're afraid what God would dredge up and how much that pain it would have. Or we've not been discipled. The church that we have known has had many failures. One of them has been the failure to disciple. We pretty much, who gather here, have been through, lived that. And so we were never truly discipled. Oh, we went to Sunday school. Yes, I'm not faulting that. We've been to worship, not faulting that. We've done this, we've done that, but we've never truly been discipled in that way. It's something that went by the wayside. It's something that, like accountability, went by the wayside. But it doesn't stop the fact that through the disciplines, God is going to transform us. Today, I'm hoping and I've been praying that the Holy Spirit would use this word to lead you into, if a new discipline is in order, a new discipline. If taking advantage of the disciplines that you're already engaged in to a deeper level, then that would be it. Purposeful, productive disciplines. To which, by the way, I would add another P, practical. Because the disciplines are always practical. The disciplines are not mystical, nor are they magical. They are practical, practical things. Think about the passage that Garth read for us from Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and here are the disciplines, let us throw off everything that hinders us. Think about that. What weighs you down? What keeps you from moving forward? Throw it off. Let us throw off the sin that so easily entangles us. What sins still trip you up? Throw them off. Discipline. Then let us run with endurance the race marked out for us. That's a metaphor. He doesn't really want us to do, although some of us in this church are doing marathons, doesn't really want us to go out and run a marathon. What he wants us to do is the race that God has put before us, to run it with endurance. And that takes discipline, takes training. And that's a discipline in itself. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, that's a discipline. Fixing our very practical things about how to move forward. The pioneer and the author, the perfecter of our faith. What's curious about Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 is it follows Hebrews 11. Everybody knows that that's the chapter about the faith and the saints that have led the way in terms of faith. The roll call, the roll of honor of people of faith. Then we have Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 about us getting into that race. And then Hebrews 12, 3 to 11 is one of the most significant teachings about discipline in the Bible. Check it out. We won't have time to go there today, but check it out. Hebrews 12, 3 to 11. It's about discipline. Now, in our consideration of hearing the voice of God, the question arises, how do you do this? Is this some mystical, spiritual, magical thing? No. It's something that comes if we simply apply a few practical disciplines. I want to talk to you about two of them today. You can call them spiritual disciplines, but when you hear them, I don't want you to just categorize them in that way, because they're actually pretty smart things to do in other areas of your life. They're extremely helpful. They're extremely effective. They're extremely purposeful, extremely productive and practical, and they work as well when we try to listen for the voice of God. You probably guess what the first discipline is already. Characterized by Psalm 46:10, which you should have memorized by now, in one of two versions. Be still and know I am God. Or cease striving and know I am God. It's the discipline of learning how to quiet ourselves. to quiet our hearts, to quiet our minds before God. Ecclesiastes 5, 1 and 2, Garth read that for us. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools, which is to just start babbling in front of God. James 1, 19 to 20, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. And my paraphrase, and even slower to be angry. Notice how the world, and sometimes us, we get it backwards. We are quick to anger, almost as quick to speak, because when we're angry, you're going to know about it. And the last thing is slow to listen. But James 1 says everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slower to become angry. And it's so obvious, it's ridiculous. The only way that we can listen is if we quiet ourselves. Now, it's not valued in our culture at all, this quieting of ourselves. It's why when couples, men and women, get together in marriage, pastors, counselors spend a tremendous amount of time helping them when the relationship breaks down, and it will break down if these things aren't in place. One or both of them, for one of them, husband or wife, either spouse, generally it's both, will identify this one thing. He doesn't listen to me. She doesn't listen to me. And the most difficult thing is recognize that maybe I don't listen so well. It's a cultural thing. We're not taught to listen. And so relationships break up because no one wants to take the first step to be quick to listen. Generally, when a relationship breaks up, they're already at the anger level. So when they get the meeting together, all they want to do is talk, and no one wants to listen. In our culture, rarely seen this quietness, the becoming quiet to listen, except in two cases, and they are the exception, and they are what you will see most exampled in. First is debate. People will listen to you in a debate. The second is sales. People will listen to you if they're trying to sell you something. And in both instances, the purpose is to win, to dominate, to get you to buy, to get you to see things their way. They're not really listening to understand or to know you other than to use you. And that's what our culture does. And so the only examples we have of hearing, of quieting ourselves, are in that moment, and you can see it in their eyes. They're listening to your words so that they can get their debate, so that they can beat you and win you and overpower you. If you don't believe me, turn on the news. Watch whatever that thing is where they take you to the floor of Congress. It's even part of our humor. There's always someone, the person who talks so much that we can't get a word in edgewise. They never hear us at all. And what makes that funny is that every one of us knows someone like that. You have people in your lives. Hopefully it's not you. People in your lives that you will not get a word in edgewise. We need to quiet ourselves to engage in active listening because our lives are better, our relationships are fuller. we will get to know the minds and hearts of the people that we come to serve and to love. We will grow in intimacy. We will understand life better. It's the whole purpose of quieting ourselves. And that's why God says to us, I need you to settle, to be still. I'll help you. And know that I'm God. And it's a discipline that will take effort, even at the best of times. It's a discipline that will take time. It's a discipline that will take practice. It's actually a supernatural undertaking. But to be quiet, it's especially difficult for us because every one of us here has a deficit in being heard. I guarantee you, in your life, in your upbringing, in your existence, if someone was rating how many times did someone listen to Walter or to Jack or to Jan? How many times that when the score is tallied, you'll see that there were lots of people who talked to them. But on the side of how many people heard them, it'll be a handful. Every one of us shares that. Every person I've ever known shares that. We have a deficit of being heard. Because no one out there, they're all as hurt as we are. They're all as broken as we are. They're all as sinful as we are. And so everybody's got to talk and get their thing out there. And none of us have learned to listen to each other. Imagine then when we come to God. We come to God and what do? Yak, 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 yak. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, and we're done. And God, in his graciousness, is the only one who does spend the time to listen to us. But it never dawns on us that the other discipline is equally as important. To finally quiet ourselves and say, I'm done, Lord. Are you able to help me hear you? Quieting ourselves is a good thing in every aspect of our lives. But so much more, quieting ourselves to hear God. The second discipline, and I'll do very, very quickly with this one, is the discipline of journaling. As we understand journaling, it's something relatively new and in practice, very different than what you might find in Scripture. You do find it in Scripture. It's not unknown in Scripture. Look at the Psalms. The Psalms are a record of someone who wrote down the things that God revealed to them. There are other places in Scripture than that. But for us, journaling is relatively a new experience, and it's that way because we're really in the most recent 500-year cycle where we have the literacy, the ability to read and write, and the tools available to us to read and write. 500 years ago, man, it cost you an arm and a leg to learn to read and write. It cost you another arm and a leg to have something to read and write, something to read and something to write on or write with. So journaling for us is something rather new. But it's practical, it's purposeful, it's productive. Writing down our thoughts, our impressions, writing down what we believe we hear and see from the Lord, writing down the things that we read in Scripture. There are three benefits. One is you write it down so that you can remember it. I'm at that age now where I can get up in the morning and I can say, I've got four things to do today. And I think all four things. And then I go downstairs, I have my cup of coffee, and I can't remember one of them. So you write it down. Well, so I do, and I've got lists all over the place. I do. So we write things down to remember, to recall them, and that's important. We write things down to imprint the thoughts on our mind. Why did we take notes in school? Because we had to? No, we took notes when we were reading something. I eventually got to understand this. It took me the second time in grad school to get there, but I got there. I'm a little slow. I read and I write what I'm reading because that impresses and imprints what I'm reading and what the content of this author is and what the book is saying. So I write it down and it's imprinted on my heart and mind. By the way, I can then remember it by going back to that instead of having to read the book all over again. Same way with lectures, if they're worth writing down. And some weren't. Note-taking. Writing it down, it imprints it on us. So that's the second benefit. The third benefit, and this is the best one for us, is for accountability. God reveals something to you, you write it down. Okay, that's a good thing to do. Because now your counselors, those persons that you hold yourself accountable to, that give you wise counsel, that can tell you, this is of God and this is really questionable. You can go to them and say, would you read this? Corporately, we can do that as well. And what you've written down, instead of trying to convince them in speech, really allows them to feedback positively and constructively and becomes a means of grace. Those two practical disciplines will set you in great stead as spiritual disciplines too. Writing things down has always been a challenge for me. One of the reasons is because I'm not organized to keep one place for that. Second, because it's kind of like not being heard. I spent time in English class from 7th grade on till 12th grade, and I don't remember one feedback from any one of my English teachers. I'm sorry, English teachers here, I know you're different. But not one feedback from them that ever indicated that what I wrote had any value whatsoever. Nothing. So writing to me is, even though I love good writing, it's a closed book. I don't really believe that I can possibly do it. That's what I learned in high school. Not a great thing for endorsement of my high school. All of that to bring us to the place, if we're hearing the voice of God, it's a discipline. And it engages us in a couple of very practical ways. Two ways. The first is, we're not going to hear the voice of God if we don't quiet ourselves. And if we do listen for the voice of God, when we believe we hear something, we should be writing it down. We should be doing it with Scripture. You believe you're getting something from Scripture, because Scripture is a closed book to us unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. It's the God communicating to them. So the takeaways today, a question first, what spiritual disciplines do you need to beef up? What spiritual disciplines have you been letting go long enough? What spiritual disciplines do you need to add? Because I can tell you, if you're not engaged in regular spiritual disciplines, you're drying up on the vine. You are. Love you. But if you're not doing that because you're not engaging in God's transforming work, the second one is an encouragement. If you're not doing it already, set a time when you will try to quiet yourself. If you just start and all you get is 30 seconds, and that's all you can get, celebrate. Treat yourself to a Snickers bar if you get 30 seconds, if you've not been able to do 30 seconds before. Once you get 30 seconds under your belt, go for the minute. When you get the minute done, that's a Frosty from Wendy's. Okay, you get the idea. And third, really consider. I'm looking out, and for most of us here, we're getting at that age where if we don't write things down, we're going to forget them. Okay, add it to your spiritual discipline. Not because we're getting to that place where we're forgetful, but because it's a great idea. Pray with me. Father, thank you. Thank you for these disciplines, for their practicality, for their purposefulness. And the purpose is that they would transform us as you are transformed, to partner with you in this transformation. And they're productive. They will bring about all the things that you have promised in us. Thank you, Father, for this. Bless these people. I know they struggle with this. I know that they've beaten themselves up about this. Lift off that nonsense from them, but turn their hearts to step up. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.